Tamanreti. You should come to the seminar that was just advertised simply for the reason that you've seen a wonderful young man who grew up in this community from a shy little boy to someone standing before you asking you to come to the seminar. And Sri Ram Poddar, just an amazing young man. I'm so proud that he came and spoke to us about the seminar. So for that reason alone, you should attend the seminar. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari Kopijana Balava Guru Dada Dari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari Kopijana Balava Guru Dada Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaradha Maharava Punjabi Hari Kapujana Dalada Giri Bhadadari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Kapujana Balava Guru Dada Dari Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Kapujana Balava Guru Dada Dari Hare Krishna. So this evening, I thought I'd do something a little different than usual for our Sunday talk today. Not that different, just a little bit. Generally, we take a verse from Bhagavad Gita and speak on it. But it struck me during this past week in my own individual study that Bhagavad Gita, the truths of Bhagavad Gita, are often found in the bhajans or the spiritual songs that are sung by our Vaishnava acharyas. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said himself, he said about the bhajans or devotional songs of Narottam Das Thakur that, although they're written in simple Bengali language, they contain all the truths of the Vedic scriptures. And I think if you study bhajans and compare them with the text, say, of Bhagavad Gita, you'll find the same truths are mentioned. And so that happened to me when studying a particular verse of Bhagavad Gita, 1867, which describes to whom the science of Krishna consciousness is accessible. I found the same truths in a bhajan by Lochan Das Thakur, commonly known as Parama Karuna. The actual name is Shishi Gora Nityanandara Daya. So this evening, I thought we'd focus a little bit on that bhajan. We'll sing the bhajan. I see Prabir Prabhu here, and I would ask if he could lead us in that, as he's an expert kirtan. No, you're saying because you're humble, or? Well, if I can't convince him to do it, by the time we get around to that, then I'll sing the bhajan. Yeah, she's already helping. I'm also twisting her arm to play the harmonium. Try to get a little bhajan group here. It's so hard. You know, come on. That's why we're going to focus on bhajans a little bit so you can get into the mood a bit. But actually, this bhajan, commonly known as Parama Karuna, contains the same truth as we find in Bhagavad Gita 1867, which reads that this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. This is a verse that occurs just after Prabhupada's verse, Sarvadhammam Parichaya, not Prabhupada's verse, the Gita's verse, that Prabhupada points out as a key verse of the Gita, that just surrender unto me, do not fear. So just a little bit about the bhajan, its history in ISKCON, and Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das Thakur, the author of this bhajan, appeared in the world in 1520 AD, which is 34 years after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was a very young boy during the time of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He took his birth in a family of physicians who resided in the village of Kogram within the district of Bardhaman in West Bengal. And his guru was Shilmarhai Sarkar Thakur. So to give you some idea of the devotion that is behind the words and the feelings of this bhajan, I have this quote here that's taken from the Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Lochan Das Thakur is the author of Sri Chaitanya Mangala also, one of the authorized biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says, I am the servant of Thakur Sri Narahari, who is the master of my life. The desire of all my desires I place at his lotus feet, which is that this vile creature, myself, might describe something about the wonderful qualities of Sri Gaura Sundar. In this expectation, he is my only refuge. Often the Vaishnava bhajans express a mood of extreme humility. We learned how important this humility is when, I believe it was last Sunday, or certainly within just a couple of weeks ago, Urmila Devi Dasi was here, our God sister, and she was explaining. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami's Mana Shiksha, and there how the instruction is to cast away anything other than utter humility before the Vaishnavas, and in that way one can enter into one's relationship with Radha and Krishna. So we find this humility very strongly evident in the bhajans of the Vaishnavacharyas. And so it's here in this statement from Chaitanya Mangala, and we'll hear it again in the bhajan itself. Just a little bit more about Lochan Das Thakur. He was married at a very young age. From his youth, he was very attached to Sri Gaurasundara and consequently very disinterested in material life, but he was surrounded by family, friends, and society. In his youth, he spent the major part of his time at his guru, Sripat Shrikanda, where he learned how to do kirtan. Now, this bhajan has a little bit of a history in ISKCON also. When Srila Prabhupada was touring the world in early 1975, he visited Caracas, Venezuela, which is, I think, his only visit to the continent of South America. Many of the devotees that we know and love were there with him at that time when he visited Caracas. Javi Prabhu, who visits us from time to time, coming up from Miami. Of course, his family is in our community here. He was there and other devotees. So after Caracas, Prabhupada flew to Miami. And in Miami, they had Gornitai Didis. At that time, they had Gornitai Didis, very similar to the Gornitai Didis we have here. And Prabhupada visited there for a few days. And then he came to Atlanta. Atlanta also has very similar Gornitai Didis to what we have here. And so Prabhupada was seeing Gornitai in Atlanta. I don't believe they had installed the Radha Krishna deities there or the Jagannath deities at that point in time. Just Gornitai were there. And Prabhupada arrived in the midday and the devotees gathered with him in the temple room. And he began speaking about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, having seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being worshipped by the devotees in Miami in the coming to Atlanta. They were all the same zone at that time. Rupa Nirga Prabhu was here in our community. He was the GBC at that time. And in Atlanta, Balavanta, who's here in our community, was the president of the temple there. So he came into the temple and he started speaking about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he choked up. He couldn't. Was anybody else there? Sukada, were you there? In Miami. Anybody was in Atlanta at that time? Nobody else? Anyway, he began speaking about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his voice choked up and he couldn't go on with the talk. And he had to end the program there. But in the evening, he came back to the temple and he wanted to share a bhajan with the devotees. And so this bhajan, Prama Karuna, is the bhajan he chose to sing. Now, we were different traveling parties were there, and I recall an incident that if I was the temple president, I would have been pretty upset with. But one of the members of our traveling party, see, Prabhupada sat in the Vyasana and he asked for a madanga. And this devotee that was part of our traveling party, he spoke up out of the crowd. Prabhupada, they don't have any good madangas in this temple. If I was the temple president, I would have strangled that guy. But Prabhupada got a madanga at any rate, and he sang this bhajan, Parama Karuna. So, Prabhuji, are you ready to sing the bhajan? Want to come and have the harmonium? You can just go through it one time. Okay. Can we have it up here? Okay, we got it up here. Everyone can chant. We have it on the board up here.
Guna Gatha. chiaro hili poria, te pade na hilo asha.
Thank you to our Kirtanians. Srila Prabhupada has given a very, very beautiful purport to this bhajan. And before I read it, I just want to talk a little bit about why it's relevant to all of us. Dear devotees, we're all on a individual and unique journey in life. And that journey is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the verse Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasari Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. This verse describes that according to our karma, all of us are wandering throughout the entire universe. Sometimes we're elevated to the higher planetary systems. Sometimes we're going down to lower planetary systems. And this is our journey. It's often a very frustrating journey because nothing is permanent. We may work hard at building relationships, building fortunes, but in the course of time, it's all taken away. Sometimes we're in a very enjoyable situation. Sometimes we're in a suffering situation. And there's no end to it. That's perhaps the most frightening or sad thing about the whole matter, is that it continues to go on. We're traveling and traveling like that. But this verse describes what happens when there's an intervention. At some point in our useless traveling in the wheel of samsara, lifetime after lifetime, at some point there's an intervention. And we can give up the search for self-realization. Now there's a good self-realization and there's a useless self-realization. Generally speaking, people in this material world, they use the same term, self-realization. If you go to a dictionary and you type it in and you don't hyphen self-realization, it'll hyphen it for you. Because people know this term and they try to apply it in their life. But what is that self-realization that they're seeking? It's happiness, success in business, success in relationships, all these things people consider to be self-realization. We often term them sense gratification. That's a very negative connotation. People are interested in sense gratification, gratifying the senses with their objects, and that way searching for happiness or fulfillment. Generally speaking, the happiness or fulfillment never comes. And that's why we keep wandering and wandering, thinking next time I'll achieve it, the next time I'll achieve it, the next time I'll achieve it. And we've spent countless births in this kind of pursuance. But then there's an intervention, and that's described in this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of creeper of devotional service. This seed of the creeper of devotional service is our real fortune. Let's not make a mistake about it. That is our good fortune. Getting instruction, getting service of the Supreme Lord, and therefore becoming qualified to get out of this useless wheel of samsara. It's the qualification that's talked about in this 67th verse of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If one is austere, devoted, and engaged in devotional service, not envious of Krishna, those are the qualifications by which one can be explained the science of Bhagavad Gita and can actually meet Krishna face to face. That's actual self-realization. And until we come to that platform, we won't be happy. We can admit it ourselves. We've tried to find happiness in a material way of life, and we've been defeated. But fortunately, we have the direction that Lochan Das Thakur gives us. He gives us direction towards those who would intervene in our lives with a process that can finally deliver us from all misery. And so that's described in this purport by Srila Prabhupada to Paramakruna Bhajan, and I'll read it as it explains the meaning of what we just sang. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord and Dwijana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nitai Gaur Chandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful, Parama Karuna. Sava Avatar Sarasiramani. Avatar means incarnation and Sava means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The special significance of these incarnations is that they prosecute their way of self-realization. They prosecute a way of self-realization that is simply joyful, Kevala Anandakanda. For they introduced chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Rama and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das Thakur requests everyone, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with faith and conviction. Do not think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishwasha Kauriya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knows that we are interested in self-realization, finding happiness, finding the goal of life. But he also knows that we're very fallen, and particularly in the age of Kali, have no inclination to pursue spiritual life, to pursue our real selves in that way. Therefore, he's made the process very, very easy just by chanting and dancing. So Prabhupada goes on. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Chariya, Sairasa Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement and sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, then it is sure he will reach the desired goal, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, without any motive of sense gratification. Now, of course, maybe some of you are thinking, as I'm thinking, well, that's not so easy, giving up sense gratification, is it? That's why you've been going on that wheel of samsara, birth after birth, for millions of births. So what does it mean? It makes me think back again to what Irmila Devi Dasi was instructing us on last week. She was talking about how Raghunath Das Goswami described the wicked mind. There's a difference between the wicked mind that engages in sense gratification and the wicked and the regulated sense gratification that is prescribed to us in the Vedic culture, in the Varnashram culture. If I want to sit in a chair and I go there and start criticizing the person already sitting there, give him a slap on the face, call him all kind of names and push him off the seat, and then I sit down, get that sense gratification of sitting down, that is wicked sense gratification. But if I want to sit in that chair, I want the gratification of sitting in that chair, and I wait my turn patiently, then I'll get a chance to sit there. I'll get that sense gratification of sitting there. That type of sense gratification is a different thing. The Vedic system of Varnashram prescribes a regulated life of sense gratification that will lead to liberation from this material entanglement. That we can embrace along with chanting and dancing and achieve perfection. But we do have to give up this wicked idea of being envious of God and envious of others and thinking that because you have that, I want that, or it should be mine. That wickedness we have to give up in our mind. Fortunately, chanting Hare Krishna helps with that too. So Prabhupada continues, Deka ore bai tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant, but if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pasana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. Today, I received an email from our godbrother Nishinghananda in Los Angeles. And he was showing me something that I think Yadavar and Vishaka, I see them sitting here, they attended the film Vaishnava Film Awards in Mayapur. And they showed one film there that had been made by a young devotee, where he had different people that were met on the street by the devotees chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And so it would skip. Someone would say Hare, then they'd skip to another scene in another place in the world. Different person, different background, different culture, different race. One said Hare, the other said Krishna. Then shifted someplace else in the world, Krishna, Krishna, and then shifted someplace, Hare, Hare. And that way the Maha Mantra was being sung all over the world by all people from different backgrounds. How beneficial this is to each and every one of us. How Lord Chaitanya's prediction that his name will be spread to every town and village is taking place by the devotees working so hard to give everyone the opportunity. I'm sure there are many people that joined in the kirtan yesterday in Fernando Beach that the devotees went to. Just by doing this chanting of Hare Krishna, even a stone can melt. That means there's hope for us. Our hearts can melt when we hear this. But here in this last paragraph, we see the humility of the Vaishnava that I mentioned at the beginning coming out. Lochan Das Thakur speaking about himself. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." Why we have and should have a humble attitude, let us not in that humility neglect the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu and this process of self-realization that they have given us, which is very, very easy to perform. Just chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. I think Prabhupada said, he made it even more liberal. If you can't dance outwardly, at least dance in your mind or your heart. If we can do that, then we get the opportunity to break this useless cycle of samsara that we've been caught in for billions and billions of births. And we get to go back to our eternal loving relationship with Shri Radha Shyam Sundar. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity, I beg all of you. Instead, as we've come together by chance, wandering throughout the universe, somehow or another, by good fortune, we're here today. We're hearing this wonderful bhajan by Lochan Das Thakur. We're hearing from Bhagavad Gita. Let us take us these things to heart so that we can make the best of this chance meeting of all of us on our own individual paths back to Godhead. So, does anyone have any comments or questions they want to have before we end this and go to the next Kevala Ananda Kanda, taking prasad? Anyone have any? Yes. What inspired me to bring up this song in the class? Well, I was reading the verse from Bhagavad Gita, and the verse said, you can't understand Krishna, you shouldn't be explaining Krishna unless you have these things. You're devoted, you're not envious of Krishna, you're austere. And then I was sitting with some devotees last evening, and we were singing bhajans, and I realized, well, this song is saying the same thing as this verse. And so, since it's so easy and easily digestible to sing and chant as opposed to sitting and hearing some philosophy, I thought, well, let's sing together rather than just hear philosophy. That's Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
You were talking about...
You were talking about two kinds of sense gratification, and you talked about that evil. So, Maya has a great trick. Actually, anyone who's chanting and applying himself to this process, they're to be very, very highly respected, even revered. And sometimes in the association and the community of devotees, we have a tendency, we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here. So, everyone in the material world is not perfect. And we're not perfect either. But, like Srila Prabhupada said, one devotee pointed out to me today earlier, we're on the boat, we're going in the right direction. But sometimes in the association of devotees, when I see this devotee is doing this and this devotee has done that, and therefore I will see the devotee in terms of his deficiency, rather than in terms of his aspiration to approach Krishna. And that is a sense gratification that we may not be aware of, that we are looking for our fulfillment, our upliftment, by seeing a negative thing in each other. And that will stop and that will arrest our progress. And we don't know that it's going on. So, if the shoe fits, they say, well, where? I'm thinking about these things because I'm seeing them in myself, not because I'm beyond all that. So I thought I would mention.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that very valuable instruction. Yes, that is sense gratification. We must give it up. We can't be envious of the Lord or his devotees. Anything else anyone wants to add to our knowledge here this evening? Dear Prabhu. I'll get you.
Someone behind me, sorry. So, Prabhuji was saying that this type of sense gratification criticizing comes to the surface quite often, unfortunately. And sometimes devotees justify it to themselves by saying, well, I'm speaking the truth. So if I speak the truth, where is the offense? What do you say to this?
Well, first of all, I think claiming to know the truth of any situation requires more than reading about it on the internet. So we should make sure that we actually do know the truth that we're speaking before we speak anything. And we should accompany whatever truth we speak with suggestions, offers of help for rectification, not just to tear down. What can you do to benefit someone? Truth must be spoken palatably and it should be beneficial. Please, isn't the Bhagavad Gita say it should be pleasing and beneficial? So any harsh truth that may exist in this world can be spoken in many different ways. Our challenge is that if we are in an authority, if we're in a position to do something, then we should deal with it. But it doesn't give us a license to try to destroy someone with our words. We need to be careful about our speech. It can be very harmful. So let's not make assumptions about knowing the truth and get our fulfillment from speech. speaking it. I have another question from the back here.
Thank you very much for your class, Prabhu. You were mentioning that, you know, even a stone can be purified by the holy name. And we give the holy name to so many people. Are we saying, like, our heart is even harder than a rock? Like, sometimes I feel like my heart, although I'm chanting like so many japa, I still feel like my heart is not getting purified.
Well, anybody that knows you and knows all the service that you do, they would disagree with your statement. But I guess it's good for us to feel that way about ourselves. That's the example we have of the acharya, is that we don't think, oh, I'm such an advanced devotee, or I do so much service, I should be honored for that. Keeping a humble attitude is what Raghunath Das Goswami and his Manashiksha advises us to do. And so it's indicative that our heart is melting when we feel that way about ourselves, that I'm such a wretch, devoid of any devotion to Krishna. That's a symptom of your heart melting. The unmelted heart will think, well, you know, I'm a devotee. I do so much service. I deserve such recognition. I deserve this, I deserve that. The heart hasn't melted yet. So prescription is keep chanting and the heart will melt, and then we'll all feel like Lochan Das Thakur feels. Very, very, like all the acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas in their bhajans, they sing. A very, very humble attitude will manifest in our heart. Leelanda Prabhu?
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. That class was wonderful. In relation to Dira's question about speaking the truth, now, the verse that you mentioned before is, austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So it's not just speaking the truth, but it's a combination of several things, which is truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that reference. Very good. Thank you. Just one more. Prabhuji Yamaraj Prabhu.
Excuse me. Bhakti Tirtha Swami instructed us to be harder on ourselves. Chad, I'm working on that myself, but I'm not on that platform. But we should try to be harder on ourselves than on other people, and that, you know, that takes away the fault finding propensity. And also with the he instructs about conflicts, and he says that we should take the other's person's point of view, reverse the situations, and then when we do that, we can find the humility to see that we're wrong, or we could be right, we could be wrong, but still, you know, be harder on ourselves. That's the that was his instruction to us.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
You can tell the truth 24 hours a day if you do it with love in your heart. That's all right. If you don't do it with love in your heart, it's because you're trying to raise yourself up by putting somebody else down. And that's our disease. So there's nothing wrong with telling the truth. You can tell the truth as long as you... And you can test, you can check yourself. Am I doing this with love for this person's benefit? Then you're okay. You can tell the truth.
Yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
I was very annoyed. But Shastra also gives instructions when to speak the truth and how to speak the truth. Satyam bruyat priyam bruyat na bruyat satyam priyam. So one should speak truth, but that truth should not be in a way that is going to harm another person. And also it is said that aisi bani boliye man ka aapa khoye auran ko sheetal kare aapa hu sheetal hoye. So one should speak a language or the truth after putting aside the arrogance of the mind. So don't be arrogant when you are talking to someone or even when you are speaking the truth. So that man ka aapa khoye, so remove your arrogance from the mind, then speak something, and that word even should be pleasing to yourself first, and then it should be pleasing to others. So that truth needs to be spoken.
Thank you very much. All right, well, we'll take Prashadam now. Thank you. Hare Krishna.